Happy birthday, Jay. Well, is everybody excited to see some of the snow kind of melting away? Of course, it's leaving a nice no. I heard a no. It does leave it pretty wet out, but at least some of the ice is gone. I will say that. That makes it pretty treacherous for all of us. So it's always good to be here. Sitka is a wonderful church, I'll tell you. We just love coming here, and you all are so friendly and open, and especially when somebody comes carrying in a herd like I do, and you guys just open arms, and it's always wonderful coming. And so I'm going out a little different route today than I've ever kind of done. I'm going to have you, if you want a scripture reference, I'm going to start or kind of have Nehemiah 9, chapter 7. And I want to talk just a little bit about our God and how He controls things, how God takes this world and he just keeps it in operation, doesn't He? And you know, aren't you so thankful for that sometimes, that our God is so good and He keeps things rolling along? Because I can tell you right now, if it was up to Joe Spear, it'd be in a wreck. Well, and we can look at it as it is a wreck, but we know it's in God's control, and God has a plan, and we know what that plan is. But yeah, if it was up to me, of course, it'd been gone a long time ago. It'd be nothing. But God is in complete control. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think I said that wrong a little bit ago. But Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, excuse me, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, excuse me, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. He preserves everything. He has made, He alone is Lord, and He has made everything that we have. Our God is an all-powerful creator. He has designed and given everything that we have. I'm going to move this. I feel like it's right in my head right there. It's going to hit me or something. But He has designed, He is an all-powerful creator. He is everything. And I wanted to look at a little bit of that, about just how awesome he is, how He is continually involved. You know, I remember an uncle of mine, and this has been several years ago. Now, praise the Lord, my uncle has come to the Lord, has been baptized. Matter of fact, he's going through some treatments and not very well. He has one kidney, and he's about ready to lose the other one. He actually has cancer in the other kidney. So he's not doing too well, but it's been probably 10 years ago or more. I don't think my uncle, he did not know the Lord. And we had a conversation one time sitting on the couch, and he said that he believed that God was one of those gods, that He created everything, and then He just stepped back and let it go. And that's what he thought. He said, no, God isn't in our daily lives. He doesn't work things together. But we know, as a Baptist congregation, what you have learned from your pastor over the years, we know that our God does. Our God is in control, and He keeps things. He is continually involved with all his creation, not just us, but His whole creation. You know, I thought it was kind of funny that how it comes out, you know, when I start talking about this, that the scripture verse right on the very front of our bulletins this morning: look at the birds of the sky, they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. See, He keeps and He is continually working. And so I wanted to look at the preservation of our earth, of our lives, of God's creation, and how he works through that and how what he does. Hebrews 1:3 tells us, it says, he's always upholding the universe by his word of power. Now, that word, and I'm going to act like I'm intelligent here and tell you that the Greek word is pharaoh, and it means carrier or bear, but you all know as well as I do that I don't know any Greek. I'm reading that out of a book, and I'm not Jim. I don't have all the credentials, and I don't have the smarts and everything, but I can read, and so that's something I'm going to share with you. It does mean to carry or to bear. And so when we read it like that, he is upholding or carrying and bearing the universe by his word of power. It means when he, and you know, we know Jesus Christ is known in the word, as the word. We also know that Christ is involved in his creation. Everything was created through Christ, by Christ, for Christ. And it's there, and that he, and it's always under his power, and he is working through that. But he is upholding or bearing that universe by his word and power. Colossians 1:7, Paul tells us, it says, in him all things hold together. All things referring to the universe, referring to the creation that we have. He is always holding it together. We know 1 Thessalonians talks about this someday, and that time may be clear, but sometime in the after rapture and coming tribulation, that sometime that God will pull, he'll pull the church away and his spirit away. Now, he'll still have some control over the earth, but we know that sin will run rampant and that tribulation will set part at that time. But God will remove his hand and let sin or let evil kind of faster, even more. And thank God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you want to know him, because we don't want to be here when that time comes. We don't want to be in that wrath of the Lord. So in him, all things is held together. He continually working, is always working. In him, we live and move and have our being, Acts 17 says in 28. The heavens and the earth that now exist are kept until the day of judgment. Most of you know that verse from 2 Peter. God is always, he has this plan for this earth, and he holds it together, and everything that happens is not something that he hasn't ordained. You know, going on when I was looking through some of the studies, it just talks about the properties and things. You know, we have scientists who do not believe in an almighty God, but they look and study what is here on this earth between molecules and atoms and things like this. But do you realize that none of these atoms and molecules are new? It's what God created in the beginning, and they do what God ordained them to do. Everything is in existence is what God had set forth and works. You know, I was reading the example of a rock. If you pick up a rock, it's hard. If you hit it against your head, it's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. It's a rock. A rock is a rock, and it's always going to be a rock. Now, can we change that? We can crush it, make a lot of smaller rocks, I suppose. But I'm saying that property, that thing that God holds together, he still created a rock, and it's always going to be a rock. Water is water. Water is always going to be water. Water acts like water. Grass grows. Grass comes and goes. He is always continually, we don't make the grass grow. Now, again, you can go back to scientists and they can tell you all the properties of how the sun shines and the photosynthesis and all this kind of things of how it all happens. But guess who makes it happen? God does. And we know that God brings the rain and brings, he preserves all these things because he's in control of all of this. He brings things in a concurrence. He's always directing and causing the things to do what they do, just like the grass growing and just like, you know, the poem that was just read. Jack, when you plant, what happens in the spring? Things grow, they come up. Now, you do the work, you toil and sow the seed and work the dirt, you do all the work there, but who brings forth the plant? Who brings forth the shooting of the seed? God does. God is in control. And you do that every year, or have for how many years have you been farming?
Too many.
Raymond, how many years you've been farming? You know, you guys, you know, there's many farmers in this congregation, and you all know you've been doing this for years. It's a concurrence. It happens. You guys have faith that you'll put your seed in the ground and it's going to come up. You have faith knowing that God is in control of that, and it's what you do. There's almanacs, there's weather patterns, there's all these things that are all controlled by God that can have direct impact on what you do, but you still have the faith of knowing you put it in the ground in the spring and you're going to harvest in the fall. God is in control. So the heavens and the earth that now exist are being kept until the day of judgment. And they always, God is always directing and moving these properties around and taking care of things that we have no clue even what he does or how he does it. He is at work. He is always at work. Ephesians 1, he accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. God works or brings about all things according to his own will. See, God works because he brings glory to himself. So he is always at work. Things are always happening. The creation we was talking about the showers, the rains, and you know that Psalms 148, he says, the snow, he says, falls on the earth. And to the shower and the rain, be strong. By the breath of God, ice is given. We just had some. And the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture, and the clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and round by his guidance and accomplish all things that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Whether for correction or for his land, for love, he causes it to happen. And that comes in Job also. Actually, that is from Job. I said Psalms, I'm sorry, but it comes from Job. Psalm says, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. So God is in control of all things. Heaven, earth, seas, the deep. You know, I love the story of Jonah when he's cast into the sea and the big fish, which was appointed by God, takes Jonah into his belly. That wasn't by happening. That wasn't by anything. This is God in control. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and the plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. Psalms 104. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. Animals, and again, that was on the front here, but you know, we know that. Look at the birds in the air; your heavenly Father feeds them, and also we know in Matthew 10, and he said that not one sparrow will fall to the ground without your Father's will. Isn't that amazing, though, that he knows? You know, when we was driving to church this morning, and I just I said, Indiana's kind of funny, and you guys. Some of you farmers that have cleared land and things can kind of make fun of me a little bit. I mean, I've lived here all my life, but Indiana is full of patches of woods. I mean, that's if you drive along, that's what you see is a patch of woods here and a patch of woods there. And, you know, it's what's what just wasn't hasn't been cleared from bigger forest or whatever. But and of course, people like to hunt in them and all that. But can you imagine how many sparrows are out there right now? And you know, to the north, to the south, to the west, you know, what birds, what wildlife is out there right now that nobody sees? You know, of course, you can go back to if the tree falls, does it make a sound and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's not a bird, there's not an insect out there in a tree, you know, 2 miles from here that God doesn't know about. He doesn't know it's not there. He knows. He knows what it's doing. And not one sparrow will fall without my Father's will. That's kind of amazing. I mean, God amazes us anyway. When you read Scripture, sometimes we should be amazed when we read Scripture. We should get excited when we read Scripture about how almighty, powerful, you know, God is, but he is in such control of our creation. I mean, he just knows all these things. And it's like beyond how you can even really think about what he knows. I mean, he's God. And that's about all you can do. We know that he also is in charge of even how things happen sometimes, as far as, you know, most of us are kind of against gambling, I suppose. But, you know, there is the scriptural references of casting lots, and God is in control of that. Believe it or not, things don't happen. You don't draw the short straw for no reason. If God knows what that decision is going to happen. Picking of disciples, and picking of our Savior's tunic. These lots were, you know, this has been used, and we know that God has a final decision on those things. There is no such thing as luck or chance. It's all from our Father. He directs, he works through each and every created thing. These things bring about what we live in today. And it goes back to what I said before, that it fulfills his will, his perfect will. He will take care of all of us. The nations that we live in, we just came off of a November election, and you know, you hear all the hype, and I get on a kick every once in a while, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's good, bad, or ugly, but I get on listening to WLS sometimes. I get off the music stations, I start listening to WLS and Rush Limbaugh and all these kind of things. I don't know if it's good or not. I need to get off that kick. I tend to get on it, it seems like, every few years, and then I've been listening to it for about a year, and so you're driving down the road gritting your teeth and stuff, and mad at the world. But you know, I don't know. We get indoctrinated on both ways, it seems like. So sometimes, but you know, we just come off of this. But we also know, going back to whether you're whatever political party you agree with or don't agree with, or liberal, conservative, however you want to look at it, that's fine. But God's in control. God's in control. We can be upset or happy with the president we have. We can be upset or happy with the Senate, the party, our whole government system. But God is in control, and he has ordained that person to be in those positions. We are to serve and cast our votes, but it's still what God has ordained for his specific purpose is why they're in there. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away, Job says in chapter 12. Dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules the nation, Psalm 22. He made from every nation of men to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation. In Acts, he says this. King Nebuchadnezzar says in Daniel, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What are you doing?'" See, he is involved in everything, in every aspect of our life. He is involved. David says, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, yet as there were none of them. Psalms 139, most of you know that. Job says, the days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. It's Job 14. He has set me apart before I was born, Paul says in Galatians. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations, God tells Jeremiah. You see, he is in complete control of all things. The Lord gives children, for children are a heritage from the Lord, and a fruit of the womb, a reward. God influences rulers in their decisions, for the king's heart in the stream of water is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it as in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Proverbs 21. So it kind of, though, when you read some of these scripture verses that he is in so much complete control, then it almost puts you back, are we like robots? You know, when you read Psalms 139, that all my days were formed before me, and as if there were none of them, my steps were determined. Are we like robots? Does he know each and every step? Yes, but we're not robots. He has given us, when he created us, he created us in his own image. He created us a being. He created Adam and Eve to be man and woman as his creation. He created each one of us, knowing us by name. Does he control aspects of our life? Absolutely. But do we still have our own choices, our own sinfulness, our own ways that we go about? Absolutely. We still take our own steps. He may direct them. And that's a hard one to understand. But, you know, so when you do bring these things up, then you ask about evil. What about evil in the world? If God created all and he is actively involved in everything, does he ordain evil? Does he work in evil ways? Absolutely not. God doesn't work in evil. He does know evil. But does he control evil? Yes. Yes, he does. You know, this is kind of some people would be completely offended at some of these verses, but God does use evil to bring his will to completion, to do what he says he's going to do. We know these things that he does this from the scripture verses, and I'll read some of these, but Scripture never blames God for evil, because the evil that man does is still upon man. We are evil human beings. We have an evil nature. We have a sinful nature inside of us. We have choices to make. But does God direct us in evil ways? Not us in evil ways, but to bring completion? Yeah, he does. And let me use in reference. The story of Joseph is a clear one with his brothers. His brothers were all wrong, and they were jealous of him. They hated him. And what did they do? They beat him, they threw him into a pit, and they sold him into slavery. But yet later, Joseph would say to his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve life, in Genesis 45. And then he says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. There was an evilness that God had ordained, and they were still accountable for their sin, but he ordained that evil to happen, or that time. Story of Exodus, we all know this one very much, and in Pharaoh, that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I will harden his heart, Exodus 4:21. I will harden the heart of Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 7. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, Exodus 9:12. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 10. It goes on and on. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I will harden the people, that they will hate the Egyptians. It is... We know that God uses these things, and he hardens hearts, and he uses the sinfulness of Pharaoh to let the people go and to send them out, and he rescued his people through his accomplishment of hardening the heart of Pharaoh. We know that there are different ones. Matter of fact, because Romans 9, and most of you know this too, I have raised you, God saying about Pharaoh, I have raised you up for the very purpose of showing my power in you, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. And then he goes forth also, that was 9:17 in Romans, and Romans 9:18 says, so then he has mercy upon whom he wills, and he hardens the heart of whomever he wills. Eli's sons, in the book of Judges, would not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to slay them. That was in 1 Samuel, sorry. An evil spirit from the Lord tormented King Saul, 1 Samuel 16. David, when he was condemned by Nathan for having the affair, he says, "I will raise up evil against you out of your house, your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun." When David's traveling along with his men, and I'm going to say this wrong, but Shimei, when he was throwing rocks and cursing David, David refused to take vengeance on Shimei, but said to his soldiers, "Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him." David took a census upon the people, but he was enticed by the Lord to take the census. But yet we know later that God's enticing, it was a sin upon David, and it was his will to punish Israel for that. Later on in Kings, it says also, though, that he used Satan to entice David. So God did, but he used Satan to entice him. Job, we know the story of Job when Satan comes up and wants to attack Job. And God lays out what is going to happen, these evil ways of Satan, but he lines them up. And I'm not trying to say that God is evil. God is not evil. God is nowhere near evil. But he does use everything that we have in our creation to bring about his goodwill. So the one that got me to is Isaiah. Isaiah 45:7. He says, "I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do all these things." Lamentations 3:38 says, "Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and evil come?" Now, I've always heard it stated, too, that most of you have heard this, that is there such thing as cold? No, it's an absence of heat. Is there such thing as darkness? It's actually an absence of light. What is evil? It's an absence of God, where God pulls back and evil reigns. It's a natural consequence or a natural thing where the goodness or the righteousness of God is not there that evil becomes. It's not a creation of God. It's not a... it's just a absence of God, or what God is not putting his hand upon, and evil reigns. God is not the creator, and that's why I say in the King James Version of Isaiah there, he says that I create evil. But I believe that if it was probably translated, it's not necessarily that God created evil, it's just that evil is part of the creation. And so we know then that God, being in control of everything that he is in control of, guides in our steps, has the no sparrow falls without him knowing, knows the ice when it comes, the snow when it falls, the rain, the grass grows. He is in control of everything in this world and in control of all of his creation. He determines evil to happen when to bring up, of course, his goodwill. I like to think of it really as the fact that he uses it to bring his goodwill, but it's not so much he allows it. He allows it to happen. And so all evil deeds that happen is ordained by God, but it's not that he uses the evil. We are, it's where he backs off and lets evil take place. We are still completely at blame for the sin that we get ourselves into. We are completely, when we sin, and it's to blame us. It's not to blame. We can't blame God for that. And of course, the most evil deed of all history, the creation or the crucifixion of Christ. And was that not ordained by our God? Yes, it was. We know that people had things that happened that came into play to put our Savior to death. And why? To bring His goodwill, to bring salvation to the world. Christ had to die on that cross for us to even have any kind of salvation whatsoever. And so He has everything to do whatever your hand and to plan the predestination to take place. Acts 4 tells us. But God always is working, and He as everything is ordained in His time. Everything as happens in His time. And so one of the things that when we talk about this, we talk about this in like I said, in this Baptist church and things, that we are responsible. But we know that God is in complete control, and that He guides our steps, and He guides these things to happen, or He pulls back and allows evil to happen. So where does that put us? It still puts us at fault. It still puts us responsible for our actions. Now, some of us, we call this a Calvinist type theme, and then you have the complete opposite, which would be an Arminian theme or Arminian. Some people believe that God has no basic, God does not keep things in control, because God wouldn't do that. God doesn't guide us in our steps, that we have complete control over our own steps, that we do everything on our own ability, that we do everything and it just happens to be what we have. That God stands back and lets us go. And of course, all of us have heard the term free will. And we do have free will. Free will is a right term. And the meanings that we have, choices and things that we make, but there's still the will of God that comes into play and guides and directs us. But some people think that we have free will, that we can do anything, that we do anything. That when Adam took the fruit in the garden, that was God standing back and saying, oh no, now what do I have to do? And changing the course of what He had to do to make the world work. But we know that even Revelation and Daniel and all the other, not Ezekiel, but we have all these, prophets that tells us what the end times is going to be. We know what is going to happen in the end. We know that God is ordained the future also. He gives us a sample of this. So if He has no right, no hands-on at all, then what's going to happen? Then He has no guidance whatsoever. Nothing that we read in Scripture can come true, because God has no... How does He know? He can't control any of that. We know that the Arminian view is really kind of scary, that we can't just jump to that and say that we control all things in our lives, because we know that God is in control. So I want us to remember that we... while God is in complete control, this can be such a hard thing to understand and understand how free will works and how He can be in complete control, but yet we are responsible for all of our actions and how we are to make decisions and how we understand these things. The fact is we are responsible for our own actions. In the Arminian positions... If God is in control, one of the things I've always stated that always kind of scared me is the fact of how can the end be, how will God ever triumph over evil if we are in control of everything that we do? I always, where's our hope when we're in heaven that this whole process won't happen again? We know that Satan was a number one angel, and that he had, you know, a third of the angels fell with him when he sinned against God. How do we know that wouldn't happen again if God's not in complete control? It happened once. Why wouldn't it happen again? Well, we know that God allowed that to happen, that God ordained that to happen, that happened for the creation that He has now. God or Jesus Christ was ordained before the foundation of the earth, before anything ever happened, to go to the cross, because God knew that sin would come into this world, because He ordained it to happen. And so if we believe the Arminian view, then if we believe that God doesn't involve with our daily actions and what goes on in His creation, then how do we know that creation will not fall again? So what's the actually, what do we take away? So kind of in conclusion today, it's just one of those things. We are responsible for our actions. We need to step up to the plate. We need to make sure that our actions are doing what Scripture tells us. Scripture guides and directs us. God has given us things to live by. God has given us His Spirit to live inside of us. He gave us His Son to die on that cross that we may have salvation, that we may have a freedom from sin, that we may make our decisions according to His will. Things come and things go, and bad things happen to us. But as in Job, he says, you know, God giveth and God taketh away. He never did condemn God. He never did yell at God or anything. He said, you know, God gives, God takes away. Glory be to our God. So our actions, our thoughts, everything, even though God directs us and helps us in ways that we don't even know, we're still making decisions. We need to make sure that we're making decisions toward what the Lord. I always think of God directs our steps, but that doesn't mean we need to step out in front of a bus. God directs our steps and knows how we're working, and He knows maybe even what future our kids may have, but that doesn't mean they can skip out and not do, you know, quit school and things like this, because it won't get them where He wants them to go necessarily. But we know that we need to do our daily actions as well as we can do, and we need to do our things to fulfill God's will and to make sure that we stay in that. Samuel 10 says, "Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in His sight." There's both of those. God is in control, but we still have to do what we're supposed to do. Let us be courageous for our people, for God, and then let God do what is good in His sight. And we'll live by that. "Do not be silent or afraid, but I speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man shall attack you or harm you. For I have many people in a city." Acts is telling Paul that there's things that happens that he has set up, and we still need to do what we're supposed to do. "I endure all things for the sake of the elect." So, do we need to understand the doctrine of free will or God's providence over everything? Do we need to understand all this completely? I don't know that we can understand it completely. I think that someday when we stand before the Lord, we will understand. We'll understand that God was in control, and we'll understand how He guided our thoughts, how He guided our ways, but we'll maybe not understand that while we're here. Things he controls us, or controls different things and happenings around us, and controls our thoughts, our patterns. He knows what we're doing. But how do we know that? We don't. We don't feel it. We don't know it. But someday we'll understand how He does that. So do we need to understand how He does it all the time? No. But we just need to trust in Him. We need not to be afraid. We need to know that He is in complete control. We need to be thankful for all the things that He is in control of, and that He is working in our lives, and that He does keep everything for us. He does give us our daily food. He gives us our clothes. When the Israelites were walking in the desert, their shoes didn't wear out. He's always continually in control and giving. He fed them manna every day, and He works with us. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance. And we need to make sure that we are living according to the Lord, and that He is part of our ways. Even though He's in controlling, and a final word will be His, that we're part of that. You know, prayer comes into a question on that too. Why do we pray if God already has everything set up? Well, we pray because we can align ourselves with God. We pray, God tells us to pray and ask for, you know, "You do not receive for you did not ask." He tells us to ask for certain things, but sometimes we don't get those things either because it's not in His will to give. But we also would, so I remember Dr. David Jeremiah saying one time, why would we question and or ask for something completely different when we say or believe and have faith that God is in complete control and all things are good? Why do we want to change that up and put our own directives in there and change everything up and for what we don't know? We want God to do what is perfect and what His will. And prayer sometimes is so we can commune with Him so that we understand which way he is going, and that we can align ourselves with him and we can go with him. He wants us to ask for things. He wants us to bring our troubles to him. Don't get me wrong. Prayer's not non-existent. Prayer's not worthless. We know from Scripture that prayer is important. Prayer is strong. Prayer is beautiful. But all I'm saying is that God's will be done. So let's go forth today and let's make sure that we're staying in the will of God. Even though things may happen to us, may come upon us, bad things can happen, whether it be in our country, whether it be in our town, whether it be in our own lives, whether it be in our families, bad things can happen, but God is in control. And I can tell you from my own experience, when bad things do happen, he's the only one you can rely on. He's the only one that you can look to, and he's the one that holds you up in the times of trouble. And he will guide and direct your ways, and we need to be in continual prayer with him to know what those ways are. But we need to love him, praise him, honor him, and know that he is our God. As we go into, let's close in prayer, and we can have our last song and get ready to play it. So, Father, if you would bow your heads. Father, we do thank you today. Father, we thank you for being an almighty creator. Father, for being not just the creator, the all-powerful one that put everything together, that spoke and it was, but, Father, that you continually work in the creation, that, Father, you continually bring it to do your will, that, Father, your will be done. Lord, we thank you so much that you are... that you ordained Jesus Christ for that cross to bring us to let us know what salvation is, that we may just call upon his name and be able to know that we have life in heaven. Father, I pray and thank you so much that I know when heaven is established, when I'm there, that, Lord, it'll be forever and ever, that there'll be no more uprisings, there'll be no more Satans, there'll be no more any fall or sin or anything, that all that will be cleared away. Lord, you will be praised. You will be lifted up. You will be our all in all. God, be with each and every one today as we go forth, that we may have a smile on our face, Father, that knowing that you are our God, that we may be able to spread to others the word, the gospel message, and the salvation that you offer. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.